We're reading 1 Timothy 3:8-10. Deacons likewise are to be men worthy of respect, sincere, not indulging in much wine, and not pursuing dishonest gain. They must keep hold of deep truths of the faith with a clear conscience. They must first be tested, and then if there is nothing against them, let them serve as deacons.
Is there no process today for nomination of or for appointment of deacons? I have a statement from the shepherds. I'd just like to read it. Thank you for your participation in the deacon selection process. After the nominees were announced, we all participated in the objection process. Objections were addressed prayerfully and with diligent study. It is important to note that all of the nominees are willing to serve, but made church unity their highest priority. If anyone would like to discuss the deacon selection process further, please see Stan, or Rob, or myself. Know that we are very willing to talk to you at any time. So today, we're proud to formally install the deacons and announce their primary service area. During the service, Tab will introduce the deacons and their families and briefly explain their primary service. We will also present them with a Bible to honor their commitment to serve.
Good morning. For those of you who are visiting, you've come on a very special day. We always think it's special when we are able to worship, but today you've come as we install and prayerfully dedicate our deacons to their service. We want to read from the book of Acts this morning. To give us a little, I guess, example of the importance of service in the Lord's church and certainly the importance of prayer. The question came up, and we've looked at this many times in the last several years, about dealing with the Grecian widows, how to take care of dealing with them. And the apostles said that our time needs to be dedicated to the ministry of the word, to teaching and preaching. So appoint seven men, choose seven men. Who can help with that. So it says, the apostle said to the church in Jerusalem, "Brothers, choose seven men from among you who are known to be full of the Spirit and wisdom. We will turn this responsibility over to them and give our attention to prayer and to ministry of the word." This proposal pleased the whole group. They presented these men to the apostles, who prayed and laid hands on them. And we'll see later in the book of Acts, when Paul is going to be sent out on his first missionary journey, that the Spirit moved among the people, and they were going to send Paul and Barnabas out, and they took them to the church leaders, and they prayed over them, and they laid hands on them. And so today, as our deacons begin their service in serving this church, it's important. We're going to bring them up two at a time and present them with a Bible and to have prayer over them as they begin their service. So it's an exciting time, but it's kind of a solemn time as they accept this responsibility of being deacons and serving God's people in a more formal way. And so these men I will announce, I will read their names, and when they do, they'll come up, and I'll give you a little bit of background and talk about their primary area of responsibility, because our deacons are not just going to serve in a whole, but they'll each have a primary area of responsibility. And this will not be for the rest of us to say, well, that's this deacon's responsibility. They're just going to be helping the rest of us as we serve in those areas. They will be working that, and we'll be working alongside of them, continuing in our work. And this will be, I know, a time when all of us will grow, not only these men and their wives and families, but all of us as we grow in our work and grow in our service to God. And they will help us and be an example for us and for our young people. And it is a great, great time. So just as the early church did, we're going to call these men up two at a time, and then our shepherds are going to pray for them as they begin this very special time of service in their lives. Our first deacon that I want to call up is Dan Smith. Dan, I know you wanted to be first, brother. Public appearances is Dan's strong suit. Dan is married to Elizabeth Smith. Come on up, Dan. They have two children, Clay and Isaac. Dan is the son of Jerry and Mary Jean. Dan will be primarily serving in the area of youth and family. He'll be working directly with Mike McCubbin to help organize the youth activities outside of our normal Sunday school and class time. He will also plan and coordinate the family retreat, help with vacation Bible school, and work to provide spiritual and physical resources the families here at Milton would need with school-aged children. You can come on up. Three times is charm, brother.
It's getting closer.
Next is Martin Likens. Martin is married to Erica, and they have, and this line was not finalized until we got here this morning. They have one daughter, Lorelei, and they are expecting their second one any day. Martin is the son of Steve and Donna Likens. Martin will primarily be serving in the area of worship. He will be overseeing the worship schedule, coordinating participants, and helping to make the assembly spiritually meaningful. Martin will help oversee all aspects of the assemblies, including format, guest speaker, and the audiovisual aids. And Jerry Smith is going to come up, our shepherd, and present them with their Bibles and pray with them. Pray over them.
Lord, my main prayer should be with them or with Erica, but here goes. Our Father, we're so thankful to come before you. We're so thankful that you have dedicated the church and the church family as a way to worship you. As we come before you, we're going through the Bible with prayer and study for these deacons. May we do those things that you would have us do. Be with Dan, be with Martin in their service to you. Maybe ask for wisdom on their part and just the ability and willingness to serve. Maybe open their eyes and let them see what needs to be done. As with all of us, we want to do whatever it takes to lead others into your kingdom. We ask you to be with each one. We're so thankful that Jesus did come into this world, that we have that example to live by and the hope of eternal life with you. I ask this prayer in Christ's name. Amen.
Our next deacon is Josh Young. Josh is married. Josh, you can come on up. I didn't think I'd have to tell you, brother. I kind of thought this was going to be like The Price is Right. Come on down. For those of you who are with Dan and Josh, have very different personalities. Josh is married to Brooke, and they have...
Here's today.
Happy anniversary.
Lucky girl.
Remember the part I said about Solomon? I think I've blown that, ain't it, brother? Josh is married to Brooke 12 years today, which is a tremendous thing. They have two daughters, Caroline and Emma Jane. Josh has agreed to serve primarily in the area of hospitality. Josh will have the important role of making connections with our visitors and coordinating greeters for our services. He'll also help with our card and letter ministry and will help coordinate the use of our facilities by guest. Our next deacon is Nathan Mathis. Nathan is married to Andrea Mathis. They have three sons, Carson, Joseph, and Bill. Nathan is the son of Kathy Mathis and the late Bill Mathis. Nathan has agreed to serve as our budget coordinator. Nathan will help facilitate the annual budgeting and spending plan process, as well as helping our treasurer with budget-related accounting tasks. He will also work with the other deacons to approve purchases and spending within the budget categories so that we can be the best stewards possible of our financial resources. And Rob Mathis, one of our shepherds, will come and pray over these gentlemen.
Let's pray together. Father, what a wonderful day that you've given us. We're thankful for all that you do for us and the ways that you have blessed us and blessed us as a church. God, you've blessed us with a lot of talents. God, these gentlemen today will be using their talents to serve us and to serve you, and we're thankful for that. God, we pray that you'd be with Josh as he serves in the area of hospitality. We know that everybody here knows that how hospitable he is. We pray that you would allow him to work with our guests and to help them to feel welcome, to help them feel part and be connected. God, we pray that you'd be with his family, with Brooke, as they serve together. God, we pray that you'd be with Nathan and Andrea. We pray that Nathan will use his talents as it relates to economics and as it relates to financial decisions, that he will help us handle our money wisely. God, that he will help us so that we can make best use of our financial resources. And God, both these gentlemen, we pray that they would be ministry leaders, that they would look for ways in which they can serve the spiritual needs of others. And God, help us as we help them in this process. God, we're most especially thankful for Jesus, and it's in his name that we pray. Amen. Thank you, Rob.
Really appreciate the way you guys coordinated your outfits for this morning. Our next group is Todd Hickey. Todd is married to Kim Hickey, and they have three children, Tyler and Kayla, who is married to Jake McNeese, and Trey. Todd has agreed to serve primarily in the area of buildings and grounds. Todd will help coordinate all areas of our facilities, including maintenance and repair, outside contractors, cleaning, aesthetics, mowing and landscaping, and the sign. Next is Ralph McKee. Come on down, Ralph. Ralph is married to Opal McKee, and they have one daughter, Rebecca, who's married to Ryan Key, and they have one granddaughter, Evelyn Francis. Ralph has agreed to serve primarily in the area of benevolence. He will be focusing on local benevolence and community service projects, including existing programs like Meals on Wheels. Also, Ralph will help provide benevolence and service opportunities to all of our members in the age groups. And now Stan will come and pray over these gentlemen.
Let's pray. Our most gracious Heavenly Father, we're so thankful for your love, and we're thankful for your care. We're thankful for your word. Lord, this morning we're thankful for these men who agreed to serve you in meeting the physical needs of this congregation. Lord, we know that physical comes to mind so quickly with us in our bodies and just the church. And we know that many times we lose track of our spirit. And Lord, we hope that these men will help serve the congregation in a way that helps the congregation deal with the physical needs and also be there for those that are reaching out so we as shepherds can maintain the spiritual growth of this congregation. Help us as shepherds to understand our role and help us to understand that the physical needs of this congregation should be overseen by the deacons and let them do what they know how to do best. Let us lend an attentive ear to them. Lord, always help us to have our minds open and our spirit moving through us to help us lend to them the needs that they need as they serve. Lord, we also ask that you please bless the wives of these gentlemen that are serving. Lord, we ask that you be with Kim and Opal. And we know, Lord, that wives bring a big part to this service and help us as shepherds that we see that their needs be met, and also help us to be attentive to things that they bring to our attention, Lord. Help us to understand, Lord, as members of this congregation, we're all here to serve, and we're all here to serve you, and we serve you every day. And we do minister to the needs of the people that we come in contact with within this congregation and outside. Help us to strive to do that, and help us to understand that your will is what we should be always about. And Lord, we ask you to bless the families that we've recognized today, Lord, but we also ask you to bless this congregation as a whole. Help us to understand our roles as we minister as Christians to the world. We ask this in your son's name. Amen.
I think it'd be appropriate for the congregation to stand and show our support and appreciation for this gentleman with a round of applause. Thank you. Y'all may be seated. I think it's important that we all realize that it is God who moves in us and puts us in places of service in all of our lives where He wants us to be and doing what He wants us to do. And that changes for all of us from time to time as we grow and temper and mature and have opportunity. And it's important to acknowledge what God would have us to do. I want to read from Philippians, Paul's letter to the Philippians, which we're studying on Sunday nights. Love to have you back with us at 6 o'clock this evening and each Sunday evening as we study through the book of Philippians. But I want to read what Paul writes. For it is God who works in you to will and to act according to His good purpose. It's so important to remember that it is God who matures us and tempers us and creates us into the image of His Son and gives us the abilities and opportunities to serve. And I appreciate these men and their willingness to serve. And it's an encouragement for all of us to be open to God's will and let God use us with the talents that we have and the opportunities we have. There will be others of this congregation who will have opportunity in the future to serve as shepherds and as deacons, as Sunday school teachers, as leaders of ministries. All of us can be about service. And I want to encourage all of us as we honor and pray for these men and their families, that all of us look for our opportunities to serve, to be about what God would have us to do. Because that's Paul's encouragement to the Philippians. Paul's imprisoned. And Paul will say there are those who have been emboldened to preach the gospel because of his imprisonment. And Paul would say, there are some who out of spite are out preaching the gospel to spite me because I'm in prison and I cannot. But Paul says, no matter what their motivation is, I'm just glad that God's work is being done. And Paul knew and encouraged those Philippians, that even though I'm at this point in prison, I hope you take courage from that and that you'll be about doing what you can do. Whether I'm with you or whether I'm absent, you'll be about doing God's will. I want all of us today to renew our commitment to be looking in our own lives and to be prayerful. Because that's so important, to be prayerful about where God wants us to serve. Because so often, I am more about the mental or the physical stand than sometimes the spiritual. And we need to be prayerful about, God, where are you leading me spiritually? Where do you want me to serve? Because that might be different than what we think. Because I can guarantee you that on the road to Damascus, Paul found out that God's plan for him was very different than what he was about. Paul was dedicated and forceful and committed, and he thought right in persecuting the church. And he'll say that. But that wasn't what God wanted him. He was doing the wrong thing. And the Lord appeared to him, and Paul changed his direction. Now, I don't think any of us are persecuting the church, but maybe in our own minds we're doing what we think we should, but we've never consulted God. We've never sat back and said, God, you lead me where you want me to be. You mold me into what you want me to be. Use me in your service. Paul never let his persecution of the church keep him from serving. And that's important because Paul not only badmouthed the church, Paul drug people out and had them imprisoned and put to death. That's how wrong Paul was. Paul would say this, that even though I am chiefest of sinners, God's grace is sufficient for me. And so all of us need to look for our place. God can take us from wherever we are or wherever we've been and use us. And the most important thing to remember is that at the cross, Jesus paid the price for our salvation. That door is not closed to us, but is open. And when we come humbly to the foot of the cross, we find cleansing in the blood of Jesus. That no matter what sins we have or the paths we have taken, the decisions we've made, that there is forgiveness of sin and promise of eternal life. And God calls us then to be about his business. At age 12, Jesus knew what his purpose was. He knew what his purpose was. It was to be about the Father's business. We need to be about the Father's business. Each of us, like parts of the body, will serve in a different way. Hopefully, each of us, as we grow and mature, will find opportunities of greater service. But I hope that all of us will always be about the Father's business, serving God in the places that he's called us, and knowing that we can come to the blood of Jesus and find forgiveness, and that we will do that and never let Satan tell us that we're too far away, that we're unworthy, that we're unlovable, that our opportunity has come and gone and we've missed it. Because while we're here and while we have life, the kingdom is still available to all of us. And in the kingdom there is forgiveness and cleansing and promise. And that's what the Lord calls us to. It's a great day as our congregation goes in service. But it's not a day where we pass service off to others. It's a day where we all recommit ourselves to being about the Father's business. If you need to come in a public way today, will you do that while we stand and sing?